Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
That ratings are hemorrhaging.
All right. Dibs, Commissioner Dibs?
Yeah, there's so many things. I would love to eradicate the DH once and for all if I could, but instead I'm going to roll back this cockamamie three-batter minimum rule because I love the idea of lefty on lefty. And, you know, so now you got a right-hand hitter coming up, so we're going to go to the righty in the pen. We bring our righty in. Well, now the skipper is going to pinch hit, and he's going to go to his lefty. So now I am going to pull out my righty and go to my lefty. It's a lot more strategy. It's more of a chess match than, okay, this bum, he's given up back-to-back home runs, but I got to let him go out there and throw to a third batter because the rule says so. Let's roll that back. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's interesting. Both you guys, and I'm going to too, rather than change a rule, we're getting rid of rules already in place. And I am getting rid of, except for whether a ball's over the fence or not, instant replay. Getting rid of instant replay. When you have a walk-off base hit, here's the throw to the plate, and he's safe, and the game's over. Or is it? Yeah. We're going to review it. I mean, you take so much of what's special about baseball out of the game, ripping the internal organs out of the game, looking at it going, yeah, he was safe. Then trying to stick it back in the flopping corpse that once was baseball. It's sad.
I'm shocked. That's the one that I've also I've kind of grown accustomed to. Don't you want to get it right, Whitey? And the fact or the evolution of technology where they do you guys understand we watch a game twice? Every play is damn near you're shown twice or three times. But don't you want to know it was real, that the guy actually got rewarded for, you know, was he really safe at home? You know?
But they don't get it
right.
But
they don't always get it
right. Yeah. And so, you know, you get the four umpires with headsets talking to New York, and then New York back to the umps, and then the ump takes the headset off. It's like, okay, here comes the reversal. They called it out on the field, and he was clearly safe. Oh, he's still out! He's still out! I don't believe it. And also, Whitey, what it's taken away is one of the great traditions in all of sports, which is the manager and the umpire arguing. It's a human thing, you know? If somebody cuts you off on the freeway, you don't wait for the video review. You blare the horn, you throw up a finger, and you move on. And, you know,
maybe careful these days, dude.
Well, I haven't honked my horn in about 7 years, Guru, quite frankly. Hashtag Oakland resident. But you get my point about real, visceral reactions. We don't have these real human interactions anymore. It's, that call was bad. The manager gets mad and pivots to his assistant, who runs over to the phone, who grabs the phone, and then back to the manager. Yeah, let's challenge it. Okay, we're going to challenge it. It's just stupid. It used to be a nice Earl Weaver. Earl Weaver never would have turned to an assistant coach and said, hey, ask Jimmy up in payroll if that was really safe or out.
I don't like any of it, to be honest with you.
And why is it New York? Can't it be California, Whitey? Why are they always in New York doing a review? Give the West Coast some love.
I know. Or Secaucus, right? Yeah. Let's go to Secaucus. Steve Javi, what do you think? Yeah. And the NBA, it's like, I understand why the NBA has to have review because, you know, there's so many people that look at it and go, well, it's rigged. And so they have to try to have video review and they have to have some sort of transparency. Good luck with that. But, Goo, the argument you made, it's the argument that most people make in favor of replay. Don't you want to get everything right? And Dibs nailed it. It's like, you don't anyway. So why take so much time? And I guess sometimes there are calls reversed. And the worst thing of all is like there's a play at second base when there's the throw and he's safe at second. Oh, wait, they're going to review it because his foot might have come off the bag for a split second while the shortstop held the tag. I mean, that's terrible. You talk about against what we love about baseball. I mean, that's not baseball. I don't know what that is, but it's, you know, baseball can't afford to have little piddly out calls like that. It's sad.
It's in every sport, though, and that's why I keep using the word evolution. It's in every sport. So if you got rid of it in baseball, Whitey, you're going to find it in basketball. You're obviously going to find it in football. But I'm going to say this real quick about relationships because you guys got me thinking about Bruce Bochy. Would he be Bochy or Jim Leland? Would he be Jim Leland with this cockamamie three-batter minimum? And I'm going to go relationships. If I could talk to all the couples, and my wife, if she's not listening, I wish she was.
I have a wife.
She forces me to go somewhere. You know I don't want to go, but I go because I have to go. I'm being forced. And then when we're done, oh, that was a great time. No, it wasn't. It could never be a great time because you forced me to go.
Wow.
And that's what I'm doing with these managers when you're leaving Tommy in the game when you know you don't want him in there. How fake and artificial is that? That I can't control who's throwing the ball for my team. That is just that's a travesty.
And there was the scene a couple weeks ago where pitcher hits a guy in the head. I think it was Bryce Harper, and then he promptly hits the next batter as well. He's gone back to back HBPs, and yet he has to go and face a third batter. Even though Whitey, the pitcher whose name escapes me, he was so clearly shaken. That's would you want to be that third batter after your teammate gets hit in the head and the next guy gets hit in the ribs?
Mm-hmm. No, that's thanks. As someone who, you know, I suffered a series of serious beatings in East Vail Little League. I want no part of that.
S-O-F-T.
Well, it's, you know, pretty easy to see that Whitey suffered
from that
trauma.
Maybe that's why they DH'd you, Whitey.
Yeah. Goo, the question you just asked, I asked that question on the station of Dave Fleming, and Dave Fleming's going to join us at 1:30. Maybe we can revisit it. But I asked Dave Fleming, hey, you know, Boach was so good at handling his pitching staff. Would something be lost here if he were managing under today's rules? And what Dave Fleming said was, you know what? Boach would just do it better than anybody else is doing it now. So, yeah, he had that knack, but the knack would still apply under these different rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just... Let me ask you this, Whitey, isn't this? What makes you feel like it's imminent that the shift is going the other way or it could be banned? Like, you got me excited because I didn't feel like on the, you know, like, hey, it could be coming. What makes your gut feel that way?
Just from what I've read and what I've heard talking to, you know, the few baseball writers and baseball people I get to talk to.
I know that guy.
A lot. Yeah. Yeah.
They will ban the shift. I'm telling you, Whitey, the shift will go the way of the dodo bird. I am CriedBot 3.14159.
Not correct, although his son is, you check out the
Ryan, right?
Lake Erie Seawolves and their starting shortstop, Double-A.
Hey, brother.
A young Ryan Kreidler doing an outstanding job. But no, he's not my source on that, Dibs. Just stuff you read. A lot of baseball people and people write about it think that's where baseball is
I
headed.
Am they your feel like only source and friend. You can tell them it came from me. The shift has a 31.2% chance of surviving.
And I love Crides, man. Wow, that's good.
Yeah. We all love Crides. Yeah. CriedBot 2.0.
Gosh darn it.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. That's so watch your language, go. Crides. So
that's good news for you, huh, Goo? No more shift next year. Or at least, you know, some form of the shift will be banned. You'll have to have the shortstop has to stand there. Third baseman
I'm going
has to stand
KFC,
there.
Whitey. Give me the old recipe to baseball.
Have you guys ever seen
extra crispy?
You probably you probably already talked about this, but have you ever seen a play, speaking of the shift, like we saw Saturday when Evan Longoria ran into Crawford? I'd never seen that before in a ground ball.
Well, we talked about the Fam Kim incident in San Diego, which I thought was a Robert Ludlum book, the Fam Kim incident, where they collided. Thank you.
Yeah.
They collided in left field because of the shift, because, you know, I believe Kim had to run so far from his position and Fam didn't expect him to be there. But same thing with Longoria and the dislocated SC joint, Whitey, and blame that on the shift. It was a bunch of bull shift. Steiny. Typical Steiny reaction, 4 seconds late, but he was there for me.
Have you seen more baseball players with index cards? What the hell? Know your personnel and who you're playing, where your coach is at. Everybody's looking at a damn card, where to play. Did you graduate? That is whack.
Where am I supposed to be? It's just more efficient. I know it doesn't. I know the optics are bad.
You're gonna
outlaw looking at your index cards? Well, I mean, it's better, isn't it, than the manager going, "Hey, move up. Hey, move over."
Reminds me.
It's a big difference,
Bobby Bonds
bro.
Told a story. Yeah, first time he's in right field for the Giants, and he's playing right field, and he looks over, and there's Willie Mays in center field, and Willie Mays is, like, waving, and Bobby Bonds is like, that's so cool, Willie Mays is waving. Then he realizes a ball gets hit down the line that, no, Willie Mays was telling him, you got to move over. You got to play down the line, you stupid rookie. All right, here's what's coming up. Mention Dave Fleming. He's going to join us bottom of the hour. Also have a chance for you to win $1,000 coming up. It's Steiny, Guru, and Dibs. Whitey in for Steiny today on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs, featuring
Creepmeister Maximus Whitey Gleason
on 95.7 The Game.
Will we have baseball in D.C. today, Giants baseball, or will the rain prevail? Dave Fleming's going to join us bottom of the hour with a Giants update and presumably Dibs and Guru a weather update as well. Fingers crossed, Guru really upset by the notion of another rainout, and who could blame him? This has been such a special season to this point.
Yeah, and they got a doubleheader scheduled for tomorrow, so I'm like, come on, get these games in, baby. I want to see Scherzer and DeSclafani.
Is this your rain song, Goo, you've been waiting for, a little Purple Rain? From
no.
I'll give you mine. Well,
I'll
I was told I was told part. They were going to rejoin with it, so, man.
Boy. It had something to do with the Lakers. But mine was, It Never Rains in Southern California.
Nice.
Yeah, Tony. Yeah.
Done it again. That's a good one.
It Never Rains in
California, the girl don't they
Southern. Southern California.
Yeah. Oh, man. I was purposely avoiding that song. Anyway, it's time now to give you a chance to win some money. It's time for the Splash for Cash contest. Here's your chance to win $1,000. Text the code word VIRAL to 72881. That's VIRAL, V-I-R-A-L to 72881. Brought to you by your local Toyota dealers. Toyota, let's go places. This is a multi-state contest. Message and data rates apply. Good luck. It's just one way we like to show you. We appreciate the fact that you're listening to 95.7 The Game. We also like to help you win money when it comes to your wagering. Dibs, Goo, are we ready for the lock of the day?
Boy, are we.
It's time for Guru's lock of the day.
Lock the lady tonight.
Oh, yes. Lock of the day is brought to you by BetQL. Playoff basketball is here, and before you bet on any of the postseason games, you need to check out BetQL. BetQL analyzes every game to help you make the smartest possible bets. Visit BetQL.com and use promo code BAY for 20% off. That's 20% off of promo code BAY, B-A-Y, at BetQL.com. Well, yesterday, our very own Matthew Steinmetz took the Giants money line and parlayed that with the over against Max Scherzer and the Washington Nationals. But the game was rained out, and thus Steiny avoided another umbrella. Ella.
Nice.
Emphasis on the L there. So, Guru, we look to you after a brief hiatus to once again lead us and our followers to the promised land.
Good uptick.
this feels like a pitcher getting the ball from his pit. The coach, I'm going to the mound, Whitey, because I've been in the bullpen. I've been out the rotation. So I'm ready, and the pick is in.
Gun, 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 get in.
We go to the beautiful ATL, where Matthew Steinman's, I think, front row. And this is the Embiid game. Trae Young, it's been cute, it's been fun, but Doc Rivers and Embiid will handle business. The Sixers are -1.5. They only got to win by 2. Derek Jeter, Whitey. So that's to play. Sixers -1.5 to cover. And when I see you Monday, we'll be talking winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Wow. Mark the tape for Steiny when he comes back, because if Atlanta wins, Steiny can put it right in your face. But if Philly wins, man. Goo, then you will be a part jinx. Of spoiling his weekend. Yeah, that's a good one, though, Goo. I like that. Philly.
Sixers.
Yeah. Now, would you just play that on the money line instead, or is the price better given the 1.5?
Well, the money line is -125, and as a better guys, it's like my bank account. I don't like seeing minuses, so I always go with the better the better bet, and it's -110 on getting some points, so I took -1.5.
Okay.
All right, Goo.
That's good, Goo. Hopefully you can bring it home.
I'm sorry. Goo, if I'm the Warriors and I'm looking at the team still in the playoffs, which one do I look at and say, yes, I think I can do it that way? Is there any team still playing that provides me as a Warriors with something approaching a blueprint as to how I can get back to the NBA Finals? Atlanta, they have Trae Young. They have good players. Obviously, they have a lot of Warrior DNA, given Travis Schlenk and some of the other people that work in the front office.
Chelsea Lane.
The Clippers went out. Yeah. Clippers, of course, with Kawhi and Paul George. Which team, if I'm the Warriors, do I look at it and go, yes, I think I can do it like that?
You know what? That's a great question. Caught me off guard, but I'm going to go Utah. And in this instance, I'll say Steph Curry is your Donovan Mitchell. More lethal, because Mitchell's Dwayne Wade, baby Dwayne Wade. And then now you hope that if you hit these two lottery picks, if you get them and you keep them, Wiseman could be your Gobert when he comes back. Clay can, you know, be one of your shooters, Bogdanovich or whatnot. So I would look at Utah. It'd be a stretch, but that would be the model, because all these other teams, it ain't happening to me. I mean, you're a far, far away. I'll go Star Wars, far, far away. Yeah. So Utah's my answer.
Yeah, I'll give you two crieds from
No, when it starts far, far away.
Yeah, in a galaxy far, far away. I think, Whitey, it's the Atlanta blueprint. As much as Atlanta kind of followed your blueprint, I think you then follow Atlanta's blueprint, and that's what you try to do as far as, you know, one great scorer who brings the defense, has that gravity, and surround him by three-point shooting.
Where's I know we didn't – go ahead, Wiley. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say I was a little surprised that some were calling Trae Young a villain, but that was really specific to the Garden, right? I mean, he was kind of seen. I know Draymond said, well, if you're going to be a villain, blah, blah, blah. To me, he was a freaking hero going into the Garden and staring down all those big, you know, Sting sitting there and Spike. It was almost heroic. I had a hard time seeing Trae Young as a villain in that setting. I applauded what he did.
He was a showman. That's what he was. And he knew what time it was, the history in that building. I loved
Trae
every minute of it. And Dibs, I got to tell you this, to his credit, I think his Q rating went up. Like, he just had fun with the Garden crowd. Any player would have been a villain in that sense.
In every step that he took, he became the king of pain for the Knicks. And he basically built a fortress around his heart so that the Knicks fans could not penetrate him. And that's how he basically got that done.
Interesting. I see. Do you still think there's any chance that if the Clippers are knocked out, that they decide to, if not, you know, break it up, blow it up, that they decide to shake it up, and maybe a Paul George, probably not Kawhi, becomes available to the Warriors? Is there any chance of that happening?
There's a small chance, but from a salary cap standpoint, they would have to do something creatively, front office gymnastics with Kelly Oubre Jr., because they own his bird rights. So if it was a And, you know, his bird rights, they call him bird rights because the rights look like a bird.
They call bird why? Because he looked like a bird?
They'd have to do something with those bird rights and a sign and trade, I think, in order to be able to get a PG-13 in.
He would be perfect. Well,
The deal with the Clippers is they've given up so much of their future assets to bring in Paul George that maybe, you know, if Kawhi said, Paul George, I know Goo loves him, but I'm not crazy about him. And then maybe the Clippers decide to load up on some younger players. I mean, the Warriors could put together a nice offer. It's unlikely. The Kawhi thing, I know that's been talked about. That ain't happening. Paul George, I haven't given up hope on that yet, Goo.
Let me ask you, we haven't talked much about him, Kawhi. Because physically, there have been days that I've seen text messages, even during the regular season, and guys, I said something, there's a hitch in his get up, and then there are days he looks like the robot that he is, the machine. But I'm looking at Luka, I'm looking at what Mitchell's done through two games, and I'm not saying Leonard is playing bad by any stretch, but he set the bar so high. Physically, Dibs, do you think he has enough left in the tank after that injury? Because how are you not stopping? I know you can't stop any of these guys or slow down Mitchell and Luka. And he's trying, but then he's not taking the assignment. And that tells me physically, you know, maybe you don't have what you used to have. And it's kind of the dirty little secret nobody's talking about. They're blaming George and not Kawhi a little bit.
Well, Kawhi has done a ton to even get him to this point. And I think that Paul George, because he's more of a drifter on the floor at times, he gets more of the blame. The Kawhi Leonard neuropathy, it's a thing where you don't know if his leg will ever be back at 100%. Maybe that's partly what's limiting him, but I would caution against throwing dirt on the Kawhi coffin just yet, because he's shown unbelievable resiliency in the postseason throughout his career.
Yeah, I'm with you, Goo. I would love to have Kawhi Leonard on my team. But you can see him laboring under the strain. We saw it towards the end of the Dallas series, and obviously the Clippers prevailed. But you can just see, like last night, he 21 points last night, but he was 8 of 17. He made 2 of 4 three-pointers. But you can see at times it's a struggle physically for him. He's just asked to carry such a heavy load for that team, and it seems like he's starting to buckle under it a little bit. Not because he's gutless or he's not a superstar. It's just physically he's having a hard time holding up.
And I got to ask you guys this. I know Lou has a ring, Tyronn Lue, but how the hell is Rondo not an option at all? I just don't get that. Man has shown flashes. No, but he can run a team, and he can get the ball out of they want Reggie Jackson to shoot. They want what's the little munchkin? I can't even forget the defender last shooting five times. Oh, what's my guy's name?
Brown?
The little baby Draymond Green. No, for the Clippers. Beverly, what's he doing out there, coach? What are you? Did they want him to shoot? My point is, it ain't Beverly's fault. Tyronn Lue, Rondo showed you he got a chip, not with the Celtics, the Lakers. He is the maestro. I'm not saying he's perfect, but he'll get those to the ball. All these other guys are getting the ball when they shouldn't. I'm sorry.
You coached at a high level.
I did.
Gives me a little more at the defensive end right now. Patrick Beverly or freaking Rondo?
Well, it's Pat Bev. It's 6 days a week and then twice on Sunday, so 8 out of 7 days would be Patrick Beverly. And hopefully, I know I've coached, but we've been graced by the presence of Mock Rivers on this show. Whitey, I don't know if you've heard.
I heard about that. I didn't hear Mock Rivers, but I heard Mock Rivers was going to be on.
Yeah, Evan Giddings, our fill-in producer, doing a great job. Doing a heck of a job, Giddings. He's, efforting, seeing if we can't get Mock Rivers today to talk about coaching.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's the answer, Goo. I think that's the answer, is you've just given up so much defensively. Rondo didn't play at all last night, a little bit of a surprise. And you're right. Beverly was 0 for 5 last night.
Yeah, and then it's two, sides to the game, offense as well. I'm not saying Rondo is his Magic Johnson, but he will get the guys the ball that need it in crunch time. And I just thought that went by the wayside. We saw too much Bev. We saw too Morris. Somebody tell him to stop shooting the ball. I mean, all of it. But if you're fatigued, it makes cowardice of all men. I'm wondering if that's why we're seeing other guys on the Clippers outside. Well, George had 27 points, but you can read between the points, Dibs, and tell when a guy's floating like Wiggins and running from the moment. There was a little of that from Paul George, but they better win tomorrow, man. They're going to have piano back, and every time they shoot the ball, it's going to feel like a chimney, because they know if we lose this, we might get swept. Changes are coming.
But you know what? If that happens, Dibs, a lot of people are going to look at the Clippers and say they're flawed and Paul George overrated. And I know that Utah's without Mike Conley, but Utah's a better team. And in the playoffs, no matter how much money you spent to bring in your star, you play a better team, you're going to lose. And sometimes it's because, not because of your flaws or you lack this or that or heart or desire. It's because the other team's better. And Utah, even without Conley, man, they're arguably the best team in the NBA right now. The Clippers aren't going to beat them.
Yeah, pending Donovan Mitchell's ankle. And I know he tweaked it. It was a retweak. Right. It was a second tweak. So depending on how he comes out of that, I think they only go as far and do as well as Donovan Mitchell's ankle can sustain. So I always think about the Clipper team, and you think about Kawhi Leonard, and even when he's at his worst, he bounces back extraordinarily well, and he's a threat on both ends of the floor anytime he's out there.
Yeah.
Whitey, and I'll push back on you saying real quick that you're saying Utah's better than the Clippers. Those games were in the balance, and I know they're without Conley, but I'm saying Clippers play better. They didn't make a shot. They took a two-point lead on Kawhi's three, and then they missed nine straight shots. So I'm just saying, to you, be careful on saying Utah is that much better than the Clippers. I don't think that's the case.
It's a good point you make. Yeah, I mean, the two games in Utah, and the Clippers have been right in there. You look at the way they played throughout the regular season. Utah, I think, they do commit too many turnovers here or there, but I think the Clippers get a little lackadaisical at both ends of the floor. Utah's just, it's like a golf swing, right, Dibs? The way Utah wins, it's repeatable. And, I mean, you got guys like, Ingles. He's got that just, they used to call it a feathery touch. I just think, assuming health of Mitchell, and then especially if Conley plays, I don't think the Clippers can beat the Jets. They may beat them a game or two, but I don't think they can beat them in a series. Utah's just better.
Utah is better, but the X factor being Kawhi Leonard, and you saw him take over a game in the earlier series when he had 45 in game six. Mm-hmm. I still believe that he has a gear that Utah can't necessarily match. And, you know, if you get Gobert to come out and help in a double team, that opens up the basket, and that gives the Clippers a chance. And, you know, like we saw with Milwaukee, it sure didn't look like they had a chance against Brooklyn, and then they won a rock fight, as you called it, and they gutted it out, and now they're back in the series. So I wouldn't necessarily count the Clippers out just yet, although Utah, pretty solid favorite. You would say Utah's in the best position of all four teams leading in their series.
So we have playoff basketball this weekend. Will we have Giants baseball? Let's find out. Nice enough to join us, one of the voices of the Giants, does a great job as well, of course, at ESPN, the one and only Dave Fleming. Dave, thanks so much for your time. Can you shed any light on how likely we are to get baseball today and this weekend in D.C., Dave?
It's bad. You know, I grew up there, and so I was talking to my mom this morning, and my mom was telling me that the yard was underwater. It was pouring rain, looking like it was never, ever going to stop tonight, tomorrow, any day. And yet we just talked to Gabe Kapler a few minutes ago. We had our little broadcaster call with him, and Gabe said that the forecast has improved and they think there's at least a chance to have a game tonight. So that's, I guess, better news than what it was maybe a couple hours ago.
Any chance you could bring some of that rainfall back in a carry-on for the drought-riddled California?
Well, if I were there and I could use my carry-on, but of course I'm here. I wish we could get some of that rain, I know.
Any follow-up on that, Dave, as far as when broadcasters in major leagues are going to be allowed to get back out on the road?
I mean, it's a hard question to answer. Some teams are starting to do it. Some teams are going. And we're not going to do it at least until after the All-Star break. You know, our situation is a little bit more complicated because we have TV and radio that work together. So issues like our post-game show where we're all together, like today where I'm going to go back and forth between television and radio, I mean, those are hard to solve if we're not all in the same spot. And so anyway, it's just a long way of saying our situation is a little more complicated. We hope that at some point we'll get back on the road, but we're also kind of just making the best of what we have and trying to, you know, make the experience for the viewers and listeners as good as it can possibly be while we're doing it this way.
Dave, the last time we spoke, I asked you about the power component to the Giants' offense, and also, too, how the ball's flying at Oracle Park. And a couple of days ago, the Giants announced in the coming weeks that they're going to open the arcade. I know I'm just fixated on this. Have you given any thought to – I wonder if that's going to affect, you know, how the ball travels, or will anything be different?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Maybe I even thought of you when I saw that release, just because we had that conversation about that fairly recently. I don't know. I mean, look, I think it's always been a part of the ballpark. That's like a cool feature. People can be out there and look in. It's a thing that the Giants really want to preserve, and I understand that the Giants coaches, players, front office, they are convinced, and I'm convinced too, that the vast majority of the improvement in the home run numbers is just player improvement. Players have gotten better. They've got better players. They know how to maximize their power better. They've improved their approach, all that stuff. Like, and I believe that the main difference is the Giants have just gotten better. However, things are going very well, as you've noticed right now for the Giants. I would be a little, it would make me nervous to change something in the midst of the season where things are going well. Maybe that's just pure superstition. If it were me, I'd leave it alone and do it a little later. It's not up to me. I think the chances are that that's really silly and that I will be proven wrong and that it won't have anything to do with what's been going on. I think it's almost certainly that will be the case. But just based on pure superstition, I think I'd just leave everything the way it is because it's working right now.
Wow. I thought Stanford guys were too smart to be superstitious. Dave Fleming with us on 95.7.
And I'm not superstitious about most things. Maybe superstitious is even the wrong word. Just like, you know, remember, you. A few years ago, the Diamondbacks were really...
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I always think of this. The Diamondbacks were going well. Their team was scoring a ton of runs, and they decided midseason to put a humidor in. And they kind of made the decision on their own. And since then, that franchise has not been the same. Now, do I think this is not going to have near the same impact as that? But I always sort of thought of that, like, man, you guys, everything's going really well for you. And then you change this, even if it's like a psychology thing, I wouldn't want to mess with my players' confidence. And I don't think, again, I just want to emphasize, I don't think that's what's going to happen with the Giants here. But maybe superstitious was the wrong word.
No, I gotcha. Dave, as well as things have gone to this point, in what areas do you think the Giants say, realistically, we could actually be better? I mean, Donovan Solano comes to mind, not to take a shot at him, but in what areas, as well as things have gone, do the Giants look and go, you know what, there's room for improvement in these areas?
for sure. Solano, Dickerson, Flores, even Yastrzemski, although he's performing at a reasonably high level, but certainly not the way he was the last couple of years. There are many examples of players who have not reached their ceilings for the year. Many. Now there's some who are really hitting their ceilings, but Brandon Belt can be more consistent. And now that he's gotten healthy, I think we'll see more of that. And then I think the number one area where they can improve is bullpen performance. And, you know, I think that that is likely to happen. I think we've already seen a few signs of that. Harleen Garcia has been a lot better. They're trying some new arms. Dominic Leon looks like he's really going to help this team. Zach Littell's grown into a nice role. So you're right. I mean, it's a good question to ask. As many things that have gone well, it's not been perfect, which is a wonderful, what a great thing to be able to say. You're not way out over your skis where you're thinking, man, everything's going right. I don't think that's been the case at all. So I think there is upside. And I would circle, like you, I would circle Solano as a guy. They can get a lot more from him. I asked Gabe about him today, and Gabe mentioned just a couple little tweaks that Donovan's trying to make mechanically to get back. He feels like he got a little out of whack, and he thinks he's close, and that as soon as he kind of fixes that feeling, that we're going to see those line drives over the ballpark again.
Which is more likely to be sustained, Kevin Gausman in the Cy Young race or Brandon Crawford emerging in the MVP race? It's a tough one, Dave. Well, Stanford educated. I had to come at you.
If you made me pick, I would just say Gausman because I think it's totally real. But, you know, I don't think Crawford's going away. Now, is Crawford going to hit 40 home runs this year? You know, that seems a little unlikely. So, if you know, sustaining that pace, maybe not. But I think Brandon's really determined to – you know, his defense has improved. I don't think it's, you know, the people who were saying Brandon was losing some defense and some athleticism, I don't think that was unfair the last couple of years. I think he was. And he's, you know, whether it's just pure off-season workouts or getting in shape or whatever it is, I think the defense has gotten back up to Brandon Crawford levels. And he's, you know, I mentioned it on the air the other night. You guys have probably read it, but every Giants fan should go read the little piece on FanGraphs from earlier this week where a writer, and I can't believe I'm forgetting his name, Luke Hooper maybe, had a breakdown of Brandon Crawford's swing and how it's different. And he uses images and pictures, so it's not all just technical terms. You can see it right there for yourself. He puts his 2019 swing against his swing here. It's a stark improvement in how he's positioning himself to get the barrel of the bat on the ball. He's made himself better, and so I think he is going to keep having a good year.
Dave, I got to ask you this question, man. This is coming from a guy that, you know, loves the game of baseball, you being a baseball historian. What do you make of this story or stories with the doctrine of the baseball? Because I was telling the guys all week, I know there's a problem. The ball's not being put in play, and I don't know if I'm being naive, but I think something's going on. It's bothering me. I'm still watching. Where do you come out on all this noise and the pitchers with the baseballs?
Yeah, gosh, this is a topic probably where we need more time. It's a very complicated issue. Baseball's got to do a good job on this because, number one, credibility is at stake here. You can't botch this. If you're going to try to do this, it's dangerous to try to make this stuff, you know, make changes on this level mid-season. Like, this is an off-season project. And baseball has a lot of thinking to do, but they are determined now to try to do something mid-season. So if you're going to do it that way, you better get it right. Here's the issue as I understand it. I wasn't a major league pitcher. There is a difference between using some sunscreen and maybe mixing it with a little rosin and putting it on your bill of your cap to get a better grip on the ball. There is a difference between that and what apparently now is happening where this, you know, I'm sure you guys have heard of this spider tack stuff. It might not just be that. It might be some other substances that are like, I mean, World's Strongest Man competitions. These guys are putting this stuff on their hands, carrying the big stones and getting their shoulders ripped out because their hands stick to the stone and it won't come off and they're tearing ligaments. It's that sticky. Like, that is a difference, a huge difference in terms of the tackiness. So basically what's happened is this whole thing has escalated over the last few years where pitchers have found much more sophisticated ways to get much more sticky substances onto their fingertips, and it is making a big difference in terms of how the ball spins. You're talking about, like, I throw a slider with it and without it, and I'm getting 35% more break on my slider with this super sticky stuff. That is having an enormous impact on the game. And I understand why baseball thinks we got to do something about this, but it's hard to do. And how do you police it? The punishment has to be strong. You got to rely on your teams and your managers to try to crack down in-house and say, there's going to be severe punishment if we find you doing it. And so there has to be an incentive for that to happen. And I'm glad I'm not in charge of implementing this.
Yeah, Dave, to me, one of the keys to this whole story, I know Pete Alonso touched on it, when baseball went to the slicker, more flight-friendly baseballs 2017 or so, I think they gave pitchers more motivation to use stickier substances. Not, you know, cheating is cheating, not that that excuses that, but I think, as you say, it's so much more complicated. But let me just ask you something simpler about managing. If they voted on Manager of the Year now, Gabe Kapler would win in a landslide. To this point, what has impressed you? Guys there every day. What has impressed you the most about the job, the way Gabe Kapler has handled this Giants team?
Yeah, what has most impressed me is the culture that he's created. And the Giants had a great culture for many, many years. And it's not like, I want to be careful here because I don't want to make it seem like the Giants didn't have a great culture before. They won 3 World Series championships with a, like, everybody's pulling in the same direction mentality. But I think what Gabe has done in this new era where baseball's changed so much of using technology, using information to get better, this is a self-improvement team, and the era, the attitude of positivity down there on this team is tremendous right now, and that does come from the manager. It does. And it's everybody's trying to do their best to get better every single day. We're going to work our tails off. There's a work ethic on this team. And then there's also a, look, if you're in a platoon, that doesn't mean we don't like you. We're trying to put you in the best position to succeed. We care about you. So even if your role isn't exactly what you dream about, you're still an important part of this team to us. That's a hard thing to do at the professional level, and I think he's nailed it. And so he's done a lot of other things, but the culture and attitude in that clubhouse right now is super positive. And it's been a big reason why the Giants are as good as they are.
Dave, thanks so much. We appreciate it. As always, have a great weekend. Have a great call or two or three or four, and we will talk to you soon, sir.
Hope we have a game tonight. It could be doubleheader tomorrow, doubleheader Sunday, could be a makeup day, could be doubleheaders back here in San Francisco. We don't know. So always good
be
to
be safe.
To you
guys.
Yeah. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Dave Fleming, one of the voices of the Giants on 95.7 The Game. So that's somewhat encouraging. The outlook is more favorable for potentially baseball today. Dibs, Goo, you got to be pumped.
Yeah, but we'll find out when Dibs tells us if it's nay or yay. I'll say this. I'm tingling right now. If it were up to you and you guys were hiring your manager or coach, what is it? If I had a coach that was better at motivating – as opposed to X's and O's and bullpen management, what would you take first is where I'm going. Because I love that answer. Yeah.
Yeah. The rest of it we'll take care of. Dibs, I got my spreadsheets here. I got my algorithms. You don't have to worry about who plays when. That's all taken care of for you. But if you can motivate the players, then we'll take care of the rest, kid.
Yeah, and that's ultimately where Gabe Kapler is really earning his money, because the spreadsheet tells you who should play. And then he's got to be the conduit from the spreadsheet to the actual human being to say, oh, I know Brandon Belt, you're used to facing righties all the time, but this particular righty doesn't bode well for you. So we're going to go ahead and play Darren Ruff, even though, you know, traditionally it might be a game where you would play. It's, you know, broaching and bridging those difficult conversations that he's been so good at so far.
Yeah, good. It's kind of like Coach Hurlocker, as I told you, when he came and told me when we're getting ready to play Napa or whoever at Dan Foley, and he's like, Gleason, you're playing third base, but we're DHing for you. I mean, the way he said it in such a way where I felt like, yeah, as long as I can help the team, right? That's the key.
That's
right. Oh, Whitey. Oh, that stuck with you. I love you for remembering that, because that would have haunted me as well. And how refreshing is it that Dave, you know, he works for the Giants, and he kept it real. I really thought defensively also that Brandon Crawford, I saw the slippage. I thought he was done. And that's why he's not just doing it with the bat. He's flashing that leather, guys, and covering ground.
Mm-hmm. Dibs, it's time for this or that. What light can you shed on this or that for me? I know you got to head to 95.7 The Game on Twitter. Check out our daily this or that poll. Two things to choose between, right?
Always, and it's all about choices, which is why we play this great song, because it's all about choices. Choices. We've had some great ones. Yesterday's was a real gem. Jeans or sweatpants, sweatpants or jeans. And today, I think, is one that's lightweight, maybe the toughest of them all. Al Michaels or Joe Buck? Joe Buck or Al Michaels, two of the greatest broadcasters in American sports history. Goo, Al Michaels or Joe Buck? Do you want to go with Michaels? Do you want to go with Buck?
This is hard as hell, and it's no diss, but I'm going Buck. And him and Aikman did the best game I ever heard, NFC Championships at Seattle Niners and Seahawks, Whitey. So I'm going Joe Buck. He can do it all, man.
Hmm. Let's, maybe we remember what they sounded like. Al Michaels had a pretty famous call. He had a number of them. There was one, I think it was ice hockey, if I'm not mistaken, Spadoni.
The Americans on top, 4-3. Long shot. Craig able to get a piece of it to sweep it away. 28 seconds. The crowd going insane. Carlemont shooting it into the American end again. Morrow is back there. Now Johnson, 19 seconds. Johnson over to Ramsey. The Legionov gets checked by Ramsey. McClanahan is there. The puck is still loose. 11 seconds. You've got 10 seconds. The countdown going on right now. Morrow up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
One of the greatest calls of all time. Wow. Joe Buck, of course, known for openly rooting for the Cardinals when they played the Giants in the postseason on national television. Nonetheless, had this terrific all-time great Giants call.
Travis Ishikawa hits one into right. The Giants win the pennant.
Yeah, sounds great. Like he was pulling for the Cardinals there, Whitey. you absolutely... Yeah. Nailed it. My favorite call of his, and no, go ahead and weigh in before I rebut your.
Well, I know that
Al
you
Michaels.
And I actually interviewed Joe Buck years ago, remember, and it was a very self-defecating interview to his
something
credit.
Like
he
that.
Made, yeah, he made fun of the fact that people in San Francisco don't like him because he rooted for the Cardinals, remember? But it was a really good interview, and he had fun with it.
Yeah, he also has a few of the iconic calls of all time, such as that was a disgusting act. As well as
that
my
is a disgusting act.
My favorite Super Bowl call, and I'm paraphrasing here: Manning, sack, avoids, throw, Tyree, helmet. Yeah. And I love the economy of words. And you know, when you think about Al Michaels and you hear that call, the crowd carried him. Quite frankly, yeah, he dropped a Kashilnikov and a McClanahan and a Neruzioni. And by the way, do you believe in miracles? The game was over at that point. Hit me with "Do you believe in miracles?" at the 10-minute mark, and then I'll buy it. But
this guy's pretty good.
World Series is on the phone. Yeah, the World Series, Bay Bridge World Series on the phone. To me, this is like, do you like filet mignon or a pretty good burger? And maybe it's
there's
even
no
like
loser.
What a burger. Yeah. I'm not even sure it's actually beef. But I mean, Al Michaels, who used to live here and he was a Giants announcer. There's no comparison here.
Yeah, it's
Joe Buck here.
It's a slam dunk. I mean, if you would have gone Joe Buck v. Jack Buck, Joe loses that one. It's Al Michaels, and you're right about the World Series. That was the greatest open in the history of television, and then he launched into being a newsman. So
that is a disgusting act.
Was that when Randy used the goalpost for
Yeah.
And he owned the goalpost.
Yeah.
By the way,
number two, you know, yeah.
But do yourselves a favor, throw on the French Open, Djokovic, Nadal. Listen to DRK. Watch the four set. This is maybe the best tennis
Loved
match
it,
I've
Whitey.
Ever seen.
Yeah.
Have fun.
All right. Listen, I want to say thanks to Joe Spadoni and to Evan.
Nice
we didn't
job,
come up with
Spadone.
A nickname for him, did we? Dan Dibley, it's always my pleasure. Thank you so much. Goo, you're the best. And thank you for listening. And as Dibs mentioned, Damon Radokolsky are next right here. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening to 95.7 The Game.
I got to ask you about the sticky substance on the balls.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.